Test. Hey, welcome, bike, to the channel. Welcome, bike, to the headquarters. My name is Nicholas. I said, hey, we want some fantasy. Big dogs got to eat BDGE. Week 7, after tonight, in the novels, in the bookers. Which means we are halfway through the regular season of fantasy football. It is time to start shaping up. It's time to cut the bullshit. I know a lot of y'all still be with the bullshit. It's time to cut it. Time to cut it. We're halfway through. It's time to make some shmoney moves. If we're not doing it, we're falling behind. Take the dubs. It's no longer okay to just put up a lot of points. We always want the hashtag points, but we're coming to the breaking point of the season where we need wins. And a lot of y'all probably didn't have wins this week because 72 running backs got hurt again. I don't know how 72 running backs can get hurt every single week. And we continue to still have running backs available in the NFL. It's almost as if they don't matter. There are a few guys that definitely matter, though. There are absolutely a few guys that definitely matter. And one of them would be Aaron Jones. So we're going to start this off. We're going to go through all of week 7, the recap, you know, everything I took away, some of the bigger points, notables, but as always, we are starting off with thigh injuries. Not thigh injuries, thigh injuries, because we're taking a bike to fucking Middle Earth with thigh injuries. Are there any thigh injuries? I don't think there are any thigh injuries today. That doesn't matter. I don't know what I'm saying. But before we start, make sure your shirt's tucked in. Tuck your shirt in. Lower the volume. Stop yelling. Let's eat. Hit that thumbs up. Hit the button that looks like this. Hit it. Smack it. Let me make sure I'm not on mute. We're not on mute. Beautiful. So we can start. We could talk. Aaron Jones. Unexpected little calf injury throughout the middle of the week. And pretty much everything was pushing him towards being on the field and playing. But Green Bay wanted to take it conservatively. Do you fucking blame them? They got to play the Texans. Was pretty easy, pretty light work there. Davante Adams basically just ate Aaron Jones and said, "Don't worry, dog, I'm gonna carry you to the finish line." And they got to rest. He traveled with the team. Everything I've read said that he tried to push to play. So I'm not expecting this to be a multi-week injury. If for some reason it does, obviously Jamal Williams is a locked and loaded, probably borderline RB1, if not certainly in the RB1 discussion. He became the workhorse there. I don't know why I was getting so many questions about A.J. Dillon's sit start questions. It was actually a bit concerning at this point. A.J. Dillon fucking stinks, guys. A.J. Dillon stinks. A.J. fucking cream filling. That's what we're calling him from now on. All he does is look thick. It's not good. He's basically, what's the comparison in a bakery food? I was going to say cupcake. Cupcakes look thick, but they're not good. But cupcakes kind of are good. Yodels absolutely slap. Twinkies are wildly overrated. They're more iconic than they are actually good. But even at this point, AJ Dillon's nowhere near iconic. He's just a horrible second round pick. Regardless, Aaron Jones, I don't expect him to be out for a long time. Joe Mixon dealing with his mid sprained foot. This was not supposed to be considered serious until it was, and now they're saying week to week. If you're a Mixon owner, you got to be a little bit nervous about that. Anytime you start throwing the weeks in there, anytime it goes from day to day to week, a little nervous. So you have Gio and you have Jamal taking over these workhorse roles. Gio wasn't that good, but he did get in the end zone at the end, which really capped his day. So we had a lot of, you know, the Gio, Jamal, Boston Scott weeks. It was these backup running bikes. Okay. Joe Mixon, week to week. Anyone's guess as to whether or not he's back this week or if he's back next week. Same thing with Chris Carson, because Chris Carson left Sunday Night Football last night. Both starting running backs did. So we'll get into both of them right now. We got Joe Mixon. We got Aaron Jones. We got Chris Carson. We got Kenyon Drake. We got Jeff Wilt. We got so many damn running backs hurt again. I spent 45 minutes out of my Monday morning just thinking about the feat of running backs in the NFL. It's quite disturbing. Carson leaves Sunday Night Football. Carlos Hyde comes in, takes over. It is a midfoot sprain, not considered to be serious. He's going to get an MRI today. And again, this is about the same injury that Joe Mixon suffered. It can be mild. It can be moderate. It can be severe. I'm only technically a doctor, so I'm going to give you all of the big facts that I know. It can be one of those three: mild, moderate, severe. The moderate and severe cases are known as like the Liz Frank injuries, right? Where they're more serious and they take a lot of time to recover from. That's like, think Cam Newton, think Hollywood Brown with the screw in the foot, Evan Ingram as well, which is also being wildly downplayed because we talked about this all offseason about how Evan Ingram was going to be playing with a whole ass screw in his foot and people were expecting him to be explosive and good and shit. Obviously, Jason Garrett's using him in a wildly inappropriate manner as if he's a fucking... Actually, I'm not going to even go there. Evan Ingram, terrible this year. That's what happens when you have a screw in your foot. But this is not supposed to be that serious. But you know, I'm watching Dr. Morse's injury videos. That the guy fucking, nobody works harder than him. It's actually ridiculous. As soon as an injury happens, he puts up a video on YouTube. So make sure you're following him over there because I respect the hustle. I respect the grind, the work ethic. As soon as an injury happens, he pops up, lets you know what it is. He pops up, lets you know who it's to. And his approximate estimation of how long these guys are going to be out for. So he thinks Carson's going to miss probably 2 weeks at the minimum, depending on the severity of it. And that obviously opens the door because this is the Seattle offense that you want a fucking piece of, no matter how you can get it. Not David Moore, right? Not fucking Greg Olsen, not Jacob. You don't want any of the pieces besides like three pieces. So two starting wide receivers. Shout out to Tyler Lockett for locking me up fucking multiple dubs last night. And then you want the running back. So after Chris Carson left last night's game, Carlos Hyde carried the ball 12 times, saw three targets. The other running backs for the Seahawks combined for three carries and two targets. It's Carlos Hyde's bike field, okay? So he is a very, 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 very important priority waiver wire pickup this week. But nobody, and they have no bye week. They already had their bye week, so they have no bye week remaining. So the Chris Carson lengthy injury thing, you can't be sitting here like, oh, well, they got the bye week next week so they can let him rest up. Shit ain't happening. Kenyon Drake. Soon as I saw the tears coming down that man's face, Chase Edmonds season. Ankle. X-rays come back negative. Okay, when you get X-rays on the ankle, they'll tell you if there's a fracture, if the bone is cracked or whatever. Come back negative. They could do that in the stadium. So you get that answer pretty quickly. What you don't know is whether or not it was a high or low ankle sprain. If it's an ankle injury, you go for whether or not it's a fracture. The X-rays come back negative, you know it's a sprain of some sort. Okay, you need it's low, you need it's high. If it's high, you're fucking doomed. If it's high, you cry. That's the slogan I usually go by. Kenyon Drake was crying, therefore it is a high-ing ankle sprain. That's also not a fact, so keep an eye on reports. I have no idea if it's a fucking high ankle sprain, but based on the people that I follow, they are very much assuming it's a high ankle sprain, and this could cost him, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks, depending on the severity of it. I'm assuming it's going to be in the around a month range, right? And even like Christian McCaffrey is going to be going on, I think, 6 weeks now. Even when he does get back, if he gets back in a month, he's not going to be, I don't think he's going to be useful at all for fantasy, which means Chase Edmonds becomes the obvious league winner here that everybody wanted. Everybody patented Chase Edmonds as a league winner this year. I got him in Scott Fishbowl, which I'm absolutely running train on right now. I have literally the most points in the entire conference. I have to check my overall standings between the 1,200 people in it. But out of like 60 or 70 people in my conference, I have the most points scored because my run backs are going nuts. But I did have Chris Carson, so that's kind of a hit to me. But I got Chase, and now he's about to run train on everything. Chase Edmonds, you blow your entire fab on it. You blow your number one waiver wire on it. And I say this without a hint of comedy to this, okay? If you are in a league where you could actually trade for fab, trade something for more fab if Chase Edmonds is on the wire, which I can't really imagine he is. Maybe some people dropped him. I don't know. If he is available, you do whatever it is. Now you can, if you're the number two waiver wire and there's someone number one above you, you go kill them. You go kill them and you make sure you get Chase Edmonds. Go trade for fab money and make sure you get Chase Edmonds. I don't care if you're above the 1,000% mark. Put 1,020%, 120%, 1,000, over $1,000, Chase Edmonds, you get his ass, okay? Now, I just made a move in a dynasty league for Chase Edmonds. Of course, there's risk. There's risk involved in every fucking trade you make in dynasty, especially. Everything looks good at one point and then looks terrible a year later and vice versa. I also think, obviously, with this news, if he's out for a while, Eno Benjamin is really the only other running back on this roster. I don't think he's really played at all this year, but I think he would pretty quickly become the number two. And Eno dropped to a seventh round, and that was like what made me want no part of him as like a dynasty pick, because seventh round draft capital is like a coin flip to usually make the roster. He makes the roster, and I remember doing the write-up in my dynasty, in our dynasty draft guide, and a lot of the numbers and a lot of the things I was looking at with Eno, his production, his skill set, his athleticism, very, very similar to the guy we already talked about in Aaron Jones. On the smaller side, but they're elusive. They can catch the ball. They could do a lot of good things. So Eno Benjamin is definitely someone to keep an eye on if you are in deeper leagues, assuming this is a more serious Drake injury. But in the NYC Dynasty League, so that the draft vlog, the NYC weekend vlog, that is like the trailer on my channel. Everybody comes to New York. We obviously didn't have that weekend this year, unfortunately. Broke our streak. But we put together a Dynasty League so everybody can stay in touch. And then when we fucking come back stronger than ever, 2021, we're going to go wild. Probably be multiple deaths, to be honest. I'm a little nervous for it. That being said, in that league where like half the teams are fucking tanking and it's wildly corny and I hate it, I'm one of the competing teams. I moved a 2021 first. I moved my first. Right now, I think I'm in fourth place. So I'm expecting to be a playoff team. I'm expecting to compete for the championship. So I'm assuming it's a late first for Chase Edmonds and a late second. So I went from my first to my second and picked up Chase Edmonds. This is on the risk that Drake's going to be out for a while and Chase Edmonds becomes, you know, the league winner. If not, you know, like an RB1 for the next 5-6 weeks, which will hopefully get me a bye, or, you know, I think by that point you give him, like, Edmonds is just like 1,000 times better than Drake has. I don't see how there's any way Cliff can continue watching the fucking games and see what Chase does and then continue to put Drake out there over him. So I am risking it for the fucking limb biscuit it, man. I'm all in, and Chase Edmonds is going to fucking probably dud because I want him that bad. That's what ends up happening. So we got a lot of running backs hurt. We have Philip Lindsay in the Conco protocol. It's a full-blown running back by committee there in Denver. If Lindsay is good for week 8, if he's not, obviously Melvin Gordon is going to be seeing 20 plus touches, but this is his first documented concussion in the NFL as a pro, which probably means like his third, but I give him like a 50-50 chance to suit up next week. And who do the Broncos play next week? Actually, who do they play? Eagles have placed Deshaun Jackson on the IR. Of course they did. Broncos play at home against the Chargers, who just probably lost Melvin Ingram for some more time. Then the Falcons, then the Raiders, then the Dolphins. Nice passing down matchup. But regardless, I think Lindsay will probably be back, and it's probably going to be a 50-50 time split. But again, Melvin Gordon pretty much continues to see the more valuable portion of the time split. We have more running backs. All right. We got Devonta Freeman going all the way back Thursday Night Football. We got fucking snacks in the building. And I think he's the reason why Devonta Freeman got hurt, because he just started getting around to liking him. And I'm like, don't do it. He's going to break your heart. That's what happens when you run like Derrick Henry, but you're built like Derrick Henry, shit out Derrick Henry. That's what happens when you're Devonta Freeman and you do shit like that. You bang your ankle up. Now, Wayne Gallman came in and looked kind of fantastic. And he handled 15 touches. And this was against a tough Philly run D. 15 touches on 32 snaps. Deion Lewis, 3 touches. And this is going to be not someone I'm going to go crazy on if he's still on your wire. Some leagues play where like you could actually pick people up on Fridays. So maybe you were already able to get Gallman. But they do have 11 days to rest up. We haven't really heard any information despite it being like 5 days later. We don't know if it is a low ankle sprain or a high ankle sprain. Obviously, if it's a higher ankle sprain, it's going to miss some time. Wayne Gallman becomes a priority pickup. I'm not going to put him over Chase Edmonds. I'm probably not going to put him over Carlos Hyde. But he's definitely feeling running back right now during bye weeks and whatnot. Jeff Wilson over in San Francisco. Massive game, and then dead. High ankle sprain. Massive game, high ankle sprain. That's how it works. That's like the 7th high ankle sprain on this offense. I don't understand what is happening. Get the fucking team new shoes. Get them high ankle shoes. Get them fucking high-waisted shoes. It's not even a fucking thing, but get it done. Stop having high ankle sprains. It's probably going to be out like 3 to 5 weeks. We have Raheem Mostert already on the IR. We have Tevin Coleman maybe coming back. I've heard he's been coming back for like 2 months now. I don't know what the fuck's going on. So he might be back from injury soon. Keep an eye on Tevin Coleman, because here's what happens. We've got Jamichael Hasty, and we have Jerick McKinnon. Now, I want to put the quote up for Jerick McKinnon. While I'm doing that, make sure you hit the thumbs up if you're in here, people. We got 700 people in here and only 120 thumbs up. Wildly disrespectful. So Kyle Shanahan said the team planned on resting Jerick McKinnon in week 7 against the Patriots due to his big early season workload. I call bullshit. That it's something's fucking weird there, all right? You're just going to rest Jerick McKinnon in a big matchup against the Patriots? Like I just don't see any truth to what he's saying there, that he just wanted to rest him because he was a fucking workhorse earlier on in the year. Here's the thing. You look back at the last 3 games, he's had 3 carries, 6 carries, and 1 carry. So what the fuck are you talking about? Jerick McKinnon's been operating on a huge early season where he had like 2 games where he had like 15 touches. I'm pretty sure he'll be okay if you give him more work. You just clearly like Jamichael Hasty better. Jamichael Hasty has had as many or more touches now in 3 straight games over Jerick McKinnon. And Raheem Mostert's out. I think Jamichael Hasty has looked better. And even when you look at McKinnon's numbers, like for fantasy, he was good while Mostert was out. And otherwise, he's been kind of terrible. Like, he had that one big week against the Jets where he broke off that huge run, and obviously his yards per carry was astronomical in that one. But after that, against the Giants, 2.7 yards per carry. The next game, Philly, 3.9 yards per carry. 1 carry against Miami, went for 0 yards. Against the Rams, 3.0 yards per carry. Yesterday against New England, 3 attempts for negative 1 yards. So he's actually been wildly inefficient on the ground. He's been great through the passing game, but it seems like they're just not making that part of their game plan on offense. So he could say whatever he wants, but like the truth of the matter is we have the fucking numbers in front of us, and that he's playing Jamichael Hasty clearly ahead of Jerick McKinnon for three straight weeks. And I guess Coleman is a pickup. I would add Jamichael Hasty, but like I'm not gonna feel comfortable probably run if we know everyone is out except for McKinnon and Hasty. I think you could probably throw both guys in. You could probably throw Hasty in as a flex play and hope that he has a couple big like breakoff plays, which he's certainly capable of. McKinnon, maybe he'll take the pass catching work again. Who are they playing next week? They play against the Seahawks. Okay, interesting matchup where they're already a 54-point over-under in the game. Going to be point scored. Doesn't really matter. The running backs for San Fran are going to produce regardless. And now they're probably without Deebo Samuel as well, so they're going to need pass catchers there. I think they're both like RB3 flex plays next week, assuming Tevin Coleman is night bike. Deebo Samuel, the hamstring. Probably a week or two, could be up to a month depending on the severity. Fucking stinks, man. You hate to see that because he's just getting back into form. He's getting a lot of targets. He's getting involved in the offense. And now Brandon Ayuk pretty much goes back to playing that role. And Brandon Ayuk becomes a must-add pretty much for anyone that is desperate at the wide receiver position for this week. People that might be desperate might have rostered OBJ. Pouring out for OBJ, unless you're Snacks and you don't give a shit. Torn ACL. Torn ACL. This offense is really tough to invest in the passing game. Here is how we'll break this down. It's going to be a lengthy little breakdown. So again, just tuck your shirts in, relax, and stop yelling. I'll do that for you, okay? We have Jarvis Landry, who has been just straight ass cheeks in the receiving game. He is clearly still hurting from the hip surgery. Like he had a very serious hip surgery in the offseason. And like the timetable for it was leading up to the start of the season where there was no way he was going to be 100% going into the year, which we don't like to draft those guys. And it's clearly lingering. And then he's got the rib injury going on as well. So he's in pain on top of that. So what this means, I guess, with OBJ out, I mean, Kareem Hunt stonks going fucking up. Austin Hooper, in the 3 games before he missed this one, he had a 26% target share in 3 straight games. So he was starting to heat up a little bit. They were turning the fucking heat up on the oven a little bit for Mr. Austin Hooper. Then he has, I believe, an appendectomy, which I don't even know what the fuck that is. As a technical doctor, I probably should know. But he has one, and he's out for last week. And then the rumors are that he's out for this upcoming week as well already. So if you're ruling him out already, which they didn't technically rule him out, but I've heard the rumors that they're probably keeping him out pretty early in the week. So it might be a little more serious than we're giving it credit for. Harrison Bryant, rookie tight end. I'm going to pull up his shits right here. He is going to be a pickup on the waiver wire this week at tight end. And we typically don't have like breakout guys on the tight end waiver wire. We just keep recycling shitty guys that have a chance at a touchdown that we never actually hit on. You know, like they had the touchdown last week. So we're like, oh, let's try to do this. And then they go 0 for fucking 3. And now we have like a legit semi-breakout candidate. So Harrison Bryant, 6'5", 240. Most importantly, very good in college. right? College Dominator, 80th percentile. College Yards Per Reception, 68th percentile. Breakout Age in the 91st percentile. Best comparable to Hunter Henry, okay? So Harrison Bryant comes in and probably takes over as the tight end one there, right? They still have David Njoku. He goes 5, 4, 56-2. Five targets, four receptions, 56 yards, two touchdowns yesterday. He out-snapped David Njoku 40-31. He ran 17 to 12 routes by Njoku, so he's not separating himself entirely. But as a rookie, if you're already leading him, that discrepancy will probably continue to grow. But he looked impressive yesterday. And here's the other thing to consider, what this offense overall, right? Like, he might just be a young, exciting player overall, but the offense dictates itself to a guy like Harrison Bryant, especially in a situation where Austin Hooper is out. They were already running multiple tight end sets, like on a near 50% rate, which is one of the higher clips in the entire NFL. I believe it was number three in terms of having at least two, if not more, tight ends on the field at the same time. So that's a very high rate. And now if he becomes the tight end one because Austin Hooper is going to be out, he'll be on the field nearly every damn play. And with OBJ out, like, things get a little weird, okay? So we have Rashard Higgins. We have Rashard Higgins who had a big game yesterday. 6 for 6 and 110 yards. But he's like every dude in fantasy that like has a big game that we have no idea what their fucking role actually is. Like Rashard Higgins, I feel like, been around for 6 years. And every once in a while, he has like two of these games a year. And they're always 9 weeks apart. So he has them. And then we get excited. And then he does absolutely nothing the next game. It's like Rashard Higgins, David Moore, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, fucking Keelan Cole. There's a whole list of these guys. Zach Pascal, I could throw on there too, that do the same fucking thing. Every once in a while, they have a big game, and then you're like, oh, they look to be involved in the offense. Maybe there's something here. But we've already learned that lesson like 50 fucking times with Rashard Higgins, all right? Are we going to hit on them 2 games in a row? Probably damn not, because they never have 2 games in a row that are good. It never happens, okay? He had his big game yesterday. But do you have confidence in him? I don't have any fucking confidence in him going forward. I think he's worth a stash if you're the OBJ owner, because maybe he does take over as the wide receiver one on the outside of Jarvis Landry. And you do look at their schedule over the next 7, 8, 12 weeks, whatever it is. It's Vegas, Houston, Philly, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and then they get a tough game against Baltimore, but the fantasy playoffs for the Browns, the Giants, and then the Jets. So Higgins led the team in routes ahead of Landry, who, again, I said, is probably still ailing a lot from the injuries that he's had. I actually think, based on the schedule and based on Jarvis Landry's health, he could very quickly become a buy-low candidate with OBJ's injury. Because, again, he came into the year injured with the hip. He's got this new rib injury, right, where he's going through some pain. They play Vegas this week, this upcoming week, and then they have a bye. They have a bye right after that. So Landry desperately needs that. If they can get past the bye week and Landry's coming out there at, you know, 90% full strength, he's probably going to be the target leader in this offense with no more OBJ there. So you'll have Houston, Philly, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Baltimore, Giants, Jets over the second half of the season with a more healthy Jarvis Landry, who will be even further removed from the offseason surgery and another 2 weeks to rest up from the rib thing. So I think, yeah, I'm not gonna go nuts about anyone in this passing offense, but I think Jarvis Landry, he might even be dropped in some of your leagues. So if he's dropped, I would go pick him up. I'm not going to trade anything worth of value. Go fucking trade Kenyon Drake's dumbass for Jarvis Landry and see what happens. What else we got here? We got Donovan Peoples-Jones did a little thing yesterday too. He was a polarizing player coming out of Michigan. People love the athleticism. I guess you can pick him up in deeper leagues and see what happens, but I'm not really investing any fab into him. The overall problem here, to sum up what I've been talking about for 40 fucking minutes, which I should have just prefaced with this and not talked about it, is this passing offense. First off, anything we're excited about right now is coming off the heels of a game against the Bengals. So we need to simmer down a little bit, right? We turn the oven up. Let's turn the fucking stove down a little bit. Simmer down. And it was a game where the Browns scored 37 points. Mayfield threw 5 passing touchdowns. He only threw the ball 28 times in this game. He's averaging 28 passes a game, which is 28th in the NFL among quarterbacks. He's only thrown the ball more than 30 times twice this year. So now they're going to lose their wide receiver one on the outside. And then they're going to say, like, let's increase the passing volume. Doesn't make sense. Okay. So if anything, they're going to continue to work through their running backs here. So I would just tread lightly when it comes to this Cleveland offense overall. But Harrison Bryant is definitely a fill-in tight end this week if you're like an Ertz owner, if you're one of these guys whose tight end got hurt. Okay. Everybody's hurt. Andy Dalton, dead in the concussion protocol. Ben DiNucci, straight out of fucking Mama's Garden in Italy. Benny DiNucci, okay? Dalton's in the concussion protocol. DiNucci is absolutely not startable in any sort of fantasy league. It's a massive downgrade for everyone on this offense. The way I'm looking at this situation right now is very much like, do you remember last year when Darnold was out? Not this year, but like last year when Darnold was out, and they kept trotting out dudes at quarterback that like you never, was it Nick Folk? No, Nick Folk's the kid. They might as well have fucking trotted out Nick Folk, the kicker, at their quarterback position. It was guys that I can't even remember their names. And it was just like the most brutal stretch of 1 month of gameplay for the Jets. This is what this reminds me of. This kid is from JMU, James Madison University. Their O-line is like kind of in shambles right now. Philly defense, special teams, needs to be picked up everywhere in fantasy, okay? Coming off a light 9-point fantasy game against the Giants, but whether or not Dalton's under center, like I think they are a very good play this year because they'll get pressure on whatever quarterback and especially against a beat-up offensive line. So if it's DiNucci, without a doubt, probably the defense number two because the fucking Kansas City Chiefs, who we told you to draft all summer, they were the defense one and they're showing fucking why. And now they get the Jets this week. It's going to be beautiful. So Jets and then Philly, if DiNucci is the quarterback, it's a problem for everyone on the team right now because you have Lamb and Gallup who combined for zero receptions yesterday. Lamb still saw 5 targets, probably dropped a sure big-ass gain on a slant. But regardless, listen, the numbers show zero receptions for both guys. Zeke, if DiNucci's under center, Zeke would become strictly a volume-based, like, I'm hesitant to even call him an RB1. Do you know what happens when you're a really bad offense? You don't run a lot of plays. And especially with their defense, how bad the defense is, they're going to be on the field the whole game. Like the opposing offense is going to eat up clock and destroy this defense down the field. And on the flip side of things, like very much like what we saw with the football team this weekend, 25-3, dominated. Zeke got what? 15 touches? 15 touches behind a shitty offensive line against a tough Philly defense. I don't even know if you can rank him as an RB1 this week, man. So Lamb, Gallup, Zeke, it's tough. Cooper still operating as the alpha, but like I'm not going to be expecting a 7-for-80 game week in and week out, especially if Dalton's out. So just be weary of the practice reports. Good Lord, that was a lot of injuries to cover. Let's move over to some committees. I made this little cute little chart for y'all. Because there's a lot of fuckery going on in bike fields right now for running backs, okay? Lot of fuckery. And it starts with these committees. It's not your town hall committees. It's just the bad coaching committees. We'll go from top to bottom. This is in literally no order, just whatever one's popped into my head. We had Leonard Fournette versus Ronald Jones. Fournette outsnapped Jones. He ran more routes, most importantly, and had 18 opportunities. So Ronald Jones came out and was like running well, dropped a pass. This was Fournette's like first real game. Good. Bike. Ankle's good to go. We can put you on the field. And good Lord, did he look good. He looked explosive. And most importantly, he was just dominating on the passing downs in this offense because Ronald Jones drops another ball and Fournette goes on his way to 7 targets, catches 6 of the 7 targets for 47 yards, just missed on a touchdown. But Bruce Arians came out after the game and said that Shady lost his passing down role. He has lost his passing down role to Leonard Fournette. So you're looking at Fournette as a guy who has the passing down role in a Tom Brady offense. He has it. It's his. He can sleep with it at night. And he's going to continue to cut into the running workload. Okay? He ran 25 routes yesterday. Rojo has not ran 25 routes in a game this entire year. All right? And this was the way things felt like they were kind of heading in this direction, trending pre-injury ankle to Fournette. And now it's here. And it wasn't all garbage time either. Like, he had like 10 or 11, I want to say, opportunities in the first half. Like, this was real, getting Fournette involved in the game plan. Ronald...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jones's like locked and loaded time as an RB2 is definitely over. And to be honest, rest of season, I would rather take Fournette over Ronald Jones straight up. If you ask me who I would rather own from right now to the rest of the season, it would be Leonard Fournette. San Fran, obviously we already talked about this. Jeff Wilson had a monster day before he got carted off. And he's going to be out for quite some time with the high ankle sprain. Comes to a showdown between Hasty and McKinnon. We'll see what happens with... Whoa, don't you be fucking zooming in on me there. We'll see what happens with Tevin Coleman, but we already mentioned that. And then DeAndre Swift looks like he was on his way to a big day. Starts off with like 6 carries, 25 yards, and a touchdown early on in the game, and then completely devolved. Completely just kind of shut out of the game plan. He did, again, out-snap everybody. 45% snaps was good to see. Opportunities 14 to 12. We're seeing Kerryon just be completely phased out of the game. He's just not... Why is Kerryon... Like, what do running backs do? They get the ball in their hands and they make something happen. Why are you putting a guy like Kerryon on the field for 23% of the snaps and you're not even giving him the ball? Like, what is the... Just put a fucking fullback out there if you want to do that. Let him block or something. Put another tight... Just keep fucking DeAndre Swift on the field. Keep him on the field. Sorry. So, this is kind of what we talked about last week, in that we have no faith in Matt Patricia continuing to stop feeding Adrian Peterson carries that go for 2.5 yards, where DeAndre Swift is averaging 5-6 yards per carry. Again, I just don't have faith that he's going to continue to do it. And I'm not going to talk about Atlanta, so fuck off if you're in the comments right now talking about it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell he looked great on the ground. Looked a little bit rejuvenated, looked fine. Was not involved in the passing game whatsoever. But this is what we're going to see. I think we're going to see a full-blown committee here sooner rather than later. I mean, Clyde looked great. Listen, Clyde looked great. And I said it in the Le'Veon Bell signing thing. Like, I thought it was more so, you know, if you have the choice between, okay, Clyde's coming off the field, would I rather put fucking Darrell Williams or Darwin Thompson on, or Le'Veon Bell? A very easy signing for them for the amount of money that they needed to give this guy. Okay. So Bell looked great running the ball. I think he averaged like 7 yards per carry, was not involved in the passing game. So we'll see how that continues to trend going forward. Then we got the Chargers, where everyone started getting hyped up about Justin Jackson, and it was a Josh Kelly game. 17 opportunities to Justin Jackson's 11. He also came into the week like pretty banged up, and then he was like not on the field for warming up for the game, so we didn't even know if he was going to be active, and I think that kind of played a role into it a little bit. He did end up running 19 routes to Josh Kelly's 20, but typically I think we'd probably see Justin Jackson run way more routes than Josh Kelly. And I don't think Justin Jackson is at 100% health right now. So that's what we're going to have to monitor throughout the week. If we see Justin Jackson continue to be like a limited participant in practice, this is probably why. This is what happened to the duo bike here. And then another duo of young running backs in Buffalo. It's ugly there, man. Told y'all not to start Devin Singletary. Hopefully y'all listened. And it is a complete split right now between Moss and Singletary. I don't think either of them are startable. I would probably hold on to both of them, even though rest of season, I might take Moss over Singletary. I mean, they both aren't doing anything good fantasy-wise. Josh Allen chips in again with like 60 more rushing yards, more than both of these guys like combined. So it's ugly there. Not a lot of good to take away other than fucking stonks down for Singletary. Stonks up for LaMichael Perine. Not Frank Gore. Look at the snap right there. 70-28 in favor of P. Ryan. 15 routes run. Frank Gore had no involvement in the passing game. 14-11 opportunities. Frank Gore had 11 carries. Actually looked good on the ground. I think he had like 60 yards on the ground, where Michael Pirine did end up getting into the end zone. He caught a couple passes. He didn't look great. I don't think Michael Pirine's that great of a player, but it looks like, I mean, they said they wanted to get him more involved and they got him more involved on the field. So I would stash Michael Pirine. He's not like the worst consolation prize to all of the other guys that we'd rather have, but he's pretty fucking close, actually. He's pretty close to the worst. But I would pick him up if I could and see if he, you know, maybe he like plays himself into that Myles Gaskin role where you think it's going to be a little bit shittier than it was, and then it turns out to be still also kind of shitty, but maybe a little bit better than you thought it might be. I'd pick up Michael Pirine. I don't know. Why the fuck not? What else we got? We got the Saints and Drew Brees just continuing to defy Father Time every time. You know what drives me nuts is people's viewpoints on quarterbacks in the NFL. It's like everyone needs to have a hot take after every single week. Any quarterback that's ranked from like quarterback 11 through 29 is either out of a job next year or is now borderline elite. Week after week, it's a new conversation every single week. Like Wentz, left for dead, has one good game, he's fucking bike. Matt Stafford, super disappointing, one good game, good. Matt Ryan, done, finished. Might as well retire, might as well trade him. Julio Jones comes back in the lineup. Matt Ryan, easy, fucking quarterback 7 rest of the season. It's every single week. You don't need to make a fucking hot take about a quarterback. I promise. You don't. You'll fucking be able to live. You'll be able to eat food. You'll be able to fucking go have sex. You'll be able to do it all if you don't have to have a hot take on every single quarterback every single week. I promise. Like, you could still live your life without doing it. Okay? Drew Brees, one of those guys. 287 more yards, 2 touchdowns. No Michael Thomas again. We don't know what the timeline is for this, but we do have a newcomer into the equation. We were excited about Tre'Quan Smith. Well, I wasn't, but like some people were. And Marquez Callaway, shout out to the homies over at Roto Underworld and Player Profiler, because they've got a very similar thing to us going on here, where we have like a bunch of different pieces of content coming out daily, like day by day. You can expect a new thing. Like Mondays, you know I'm going to be doing the live stream here. Wednesdays, you know it's going to be bunk bed breakdowns. Thursday, you know it's going to be fade the public. Friday is going to be my ranking. You know, it goes day by day. It's like a whole new fucking production premium featured film each day. They do the same shit over there. And one of the new pieces of content that they do that I really, really, really like, and I'm going to pull up his Twitter. They got this kid, Cody Carpentier, I believe is his name. Cody Carpentier, at Carpentier NFL. I'm going to screenshot this. And he started a new podcast on their radio. Let me throw this up on that bitch so you guys can see who I'm talking about. This man right here. So go follow him on Twitter. I believe it's Tuesday or Wednesday, he does a super specific podcast breaking down like the wide receiver 2, 3, and 4 in each offense, going by like snap counts, going by like routes run. And this is extremely valuable in Dynasty. These are the guys that you're too lazy and you don't want to put the time or the work in to know if like Demir Byrd is running more routes than fucking N'Keal Harry. They had Marquez Callaway pinpointed as like a big breakout this week. And that was beautiful. And I have a lot of respect for when people make fucking ridiculous calls like that and then hit on them. And this was one of them. And again, they're very much like us. We're like Monday morning, like Ray, you guys probably know Ray Garvin, friend of the show. He does like a sort of like a Devi college show. If you really want to be into the upcoming class, make sure you do that. Obviously free podcast. It's a Roto Underworld podcast. I will link that down below, but I got a lot of respect for the brand. I like what they're doing over there, and they put out a lot of valuable information week over week. So go subscribe. Go listen, because then your ass would have picked up Marquez Callaway. Your ass would have picked up Marquez Callaway. What else we got? Your ass should pick up Denzel Mims. That's what your ass should do right now. Made his debut. Missed the first 6 weeks of the season. Perriman goes into the concussion protocol. He's in it right now. He's in that bitch right now. So he leaves the game early. Jameson Crowder also was not active for this game. But Denzel Mims' involvement was extremely, extremely promising. He was a guy that I loved in the preseason. Coming out of Baylor, hyper-athletic dude, just like all around, 40-yard dash, agility, fucking burt, like everything is there. Producer in college, absolute monster. Second-round pick for the Jets. He catches 4 of his 7 targets for 42 yards. Not a monster day by any means, but he's a rookie. This is his first game on the field. And those 7 targets were a 30.4% target share. Sam Darnold only threw the ball 23 times, and he had 7 of those targets. And I'm not sure why this was, but almost all of that came in the first half. I don't know if this was just like a dominant game in terms of time of possession in the second half, or once Perriman went out, then they put Trey White onto Denzel Mims, and obviously that's going to be a fucked up situation for any rookie wide receiver. But I think Denzel Mims is someone that actually has upside of being maybe a borderline, I don't want to say borderline wide receiver one, but like borderline wide receiver one in his offense. He has like that in his range of outcomes where he could actually be the top guy on the outside in his offense. And you don't get to pick up a lot of guys like that midway through the season. So Mims is definitely another pickup in terms of wide receiver. Let's hit a new segment. We're going to hit a new segment this week called Welcome Bike. Because Gronk Bike, Fournette Bike, Deontay Johnson, very bike. Gronk now, 8.5, 78.1. 8.5, 62.1. Say it with me. 8.5, 72.1. 8.5, something.1. What's up? You want to dance too? You know I'm talking about Gronk. Gronk, bike-to-bike weeks. He is tight end, a tight end one going forward. I think it took him a while to get his legs under him, man. He's starting to look like an actual football player again, okay? That's the big thing here. Two huge games in a row again without O.J. Howard there. And A.B. is coming into the picture, so this could become a problem, a little bit of a problem in terms of like where the targets are going and deciphering what to do each week. But Gronk has looked just objectively, if you've watched any of the games, he looks like a completely new player now as opposed to the first half of the season or the first month of the season. So Gronk, welcome bike, my friend. We already talked about Fournette. I broke it down in the committee shits, but he is very much bike. He is very, very, very much bike, and I'd be very scared if Ronald Jones was on my fantasy team, which he is unfortunately on a few of my fantasy teams. So I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm out here fucking celebrating Leonard Fournette when I don't even own him anywhere and I own all Ronald Jones. Shit. Deontay Johnson is bike. 15 targets yesterday. Big Ben had a season-high 49 pass attempts. Someone check his elbow this morning. There's no way it's still there. No fucking way. Juju, 14 targets too. Just massive target numbers for both guys. I just tweeted this out, okay? Make sure you're following me on Twitter if you're not already. I believe it's right there. Let me see. Did I put the fucking tweet thing back up there? Yeah. @Nick_BDGE. And then you could just fucking follow my name on Instagram, @NickErColano. Deontay Johnson, in the 3 games he's played this year in which he did not leave early with an injury, his target totals are 10, 13, and 15. 10, 13, and 15. Can y'all hear me? Bark twice if you just fucking heard what I said. I don't hear any barks. Fucking lame. Rude. Tell your dog to bark. There's a dog right outside. It won't bark. Should I have to yell it louder? Do I have to yell the target totals louder? I'm not going to do that. The biggest question here was, what happens to Chase Claypool when Deontay comes back onto the field, right? Like, he's been so exciting, but like, we've never really had the game where everything clicks together and everyone's on the field together and seeing what happens. Here's what happened. It was Juju and Deontay as the ones and twos in terms of snap counts, in terms of play time, in terms of production. Chase Claypool far overtook James Washington, though, okay? So Washington seems to be getting phased out. And Claypool was the wide receiver 3. But that's the thing with Claypool. As soon as you start to trust him, as a big play guy, you're going to have a lot of these ups and downs. As someone who's not like a pure possession receiver or a big part of the game plan where you have multiple guys already ahead of you in the pecking order, it's going to come with a lot of inconsistency. And we saw that yesterday. And what was interesting is I was listening to someone tweeted out, I think, that Malcolm Butler of the Titans was actually like shadowing Claypool for most of the game. So this might have been like a game plan thing where they were just like, we don't want them to beat us deep. We don't want Ben to go over the top and beat us with Claypool. So just keep everything around the line of scrimmage. And that was like everything in that game. That's why they had such high target totals. They were literally just short passes, line of scrimmage. It was Deontay Juju, bike and forth. So that could have been a game plan thing. But regardless, he was 3, wide receiver 3 in the pecking order. A lot of people got nervous about Deontay Johnson. Does this make me feel better about him? Of course, he looked fucking fantastic. He did leave with an ankle injury at one point. And then I believe he returned to finish the game. So I wasn't nervous about it. So monitor practice reports. I hope this is not one of those things where he like sprained his ankle and then he came back in because of the adrenaline shit. And then the next day it starts to swell up or something. So keep an eye on the reports for Deontay Johnson. He might be less than 100% going into next week, in which we're fucking back to where we were before I even started this entire fucking segment. And we have no idea who to actually start for the Pittsburgh wide receivers. Do I feel better about Juju? Honestly, no. I don't fucking feel any better about Juju. He's been terrible this year outside of week one where he scored the two touchdowns. He just, like, for the hype that we gave him for the first 2 years of his career and the production that he put up at such a young age, there's nothing about watching him that you're like, wow, he looks really good. Wow, he looks like the alpha. Like every once in a while, he'll make like a 20-yard grab, but it's just like, it's just a mundane, it's a fucking Rashard Higgins type catch. I'm just like, I don't give a shit, you know? There's nothing about what he's doing this year that makes me feel good about owning Juju rest of season going forward, man. Doesn't feel good. They do have a crazy little Baltimore sandwich over the next 5 weeks in terms of schedule. So they get the Ravens in this upcoming week. Then they get Dallas, Cincinnati, Jacksonville. I don't know if you could think up, if you could muster up a better fucking passing defensive spread than what they have in this sandwich. Because then they get Baltimore again. So it's Baltimore, Dallas, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Baltimore. Clapped up. So going to feel good owning Deontay Johnson right now. It's going to be a tough matchup for Juju against Marlon Humphrey next week. So I will be down on him again most likely. And I want to say that's most of what we got here today. I do want to jump into some monkey knife fight shits because we got a game tonight. And I'm trying to lose y'all some more money. Let me put monkey knife fight down here. Let me get the screens on here. If y'all have not signed up for monkey knife fight yet, you should probably do that. Y'all should probably do that because they've got some good games here. Monday night football, which is probably going to be a terrible game, but they got good player prop games, and we can win some money. We can pay the mortgage, okay? I hate everything about this game for Jared Goff. He's been horrible as a quarterback against Chicago Bears the last 2 years. I think Nick Foles is kind of just horrible as a quarterback in general. So I kind of want the under of everything. I don't know who is going to score a touchdown. I don't know if anyone's going to score. This could end up being like an 11-6 game. So what are we looking at? We want something where Jared Goff is going to have a shit game. And we have Allen Robinson in a tough matchup against Jalen Ramsey, the Rams secondary has allowed very, very few points to opposing wide receivers this year in terms of fantasy points. So we're going to go to one of the games up here that has fantasy points underneath it. So, you know, we're just fucking around with fantasy points. Also, if you have not signed up for Monkey Knife Fight yet, whatever you deposit, they're going to double it if you use promo code BDGE. So if you go deposit $10, they're going to put $20 in your account when you use the promo code BDGE when you sign up. Then you could throw it all. You could throw all your fucking savings account, your kids' college tuition. Throw it in here. Throw it all in here. They'll double it for you, and then we'll lose it all together. What else do we got? Allen Robinson, Robert Woods. Man, I don't feel good about any of that. Okay, so let's go with this one. Let's fucking run this bike. So you need to hit two of these two correctly. And that will 3.5x your buy-in. So if you throw down 10, you're going to get 35 from this. I'm just going to take the under for Jared Goff. I don't care what. It could be like 11. I'm going to take the under. Because Chicago's defense is absolutely fucking stifling. And Jared Goff just does not play well against really good defenses. He's been terrible. Nick Foles, 15.5 fantasy points. Is going to be a garbage time game? Does he end up throwing a couple lucky touchdowns? I'm just going to take the under on both. I just think this is going to be a shit game. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be like realistically, probably like 16 to fucking 12. And it's probably going to end up being 30 to 28 because I'm saying all this shit and you guys get to watch it afterwards. So that's going to be my play this week. Under 16.5 for Goff, under 15.5 for Nick Foles. Let's get bike to YouTube. Where art thou? Where art thou? Where are we going? What's good? How we doing, YouTube? I can actually read your comments again. I'm reading them for the first time since we kicked off. How long have we been on this fucking thing for? 47 minutes. Oh, it's longer than usual. Actually, no, it's not. I usually go for like an hour and a half on these ones. Where are we at? Time to go light up for sure. Sure. What am I getting all these dumbass emails about? Yeah, I don't believe you, Petra. I just get dumb fucking emails all day. Just people trying to fucking spam me into bullshit. I'm not my grandma. You can't tell me that like my grandson is kidnapped in fucking Aruba and to pay you money. I'd pay you for my grandsons. Y'all is my grandson, so I would pay for you. Was good. Yes, we're very bike. Again, y'all are watching. We have one third of the thumbs up. Hit the thumbs up. Hit the thumbs up. What about Rex Bulkhead? What about him? You're not playing anybody in that Patriots offense. Let's talk about the Patriots offense. So bad. So fucking bad. I started Cam Newton in way too many fucking leagues this week. I knew I shouldn't have. I meant to swap him out in a couple of them, but got me like a negative 0.2 points in E-Town Get Down. So bad. So fucking bad. Their offense is, one, the first 2 weeks they ran their offense, I knew this was not going to be like, I knew this was not, yeah, you know who else is practicing? Alshon Jeffrey's also practicing. Christian McCaffrey back practice. I don't know. That don't mean shit to me. Oh, well, Chris, you got lucky then because I don't think we hit that fucking thing. I don't think we hit the monkey knife fight bet anyway, so it's good for all y'all. Okay, so the Patriots offense, like their offense consists of Cam Newton running like Derrick Henry for the first 2 weeks. Like that's not going to hold up for 16 games. It's out of control. Probably did him a favor not having that continue to be the thing because he'll probably get hurt. And then their wide receivers literally cannot create an ounce of separation. Not an ounce of separation. It's like me on this fucking microphone. Me on this microphone. This is Cam Newton's wide receiver separations. Testing, testing. Check niner, niner. Julian Edelman, can you fucking get open? Nope. N'Keal Harry, are you open? Nope. Damir Bird, we know your ass ain't fucking open. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. So they're in some trouble. I don't know what they're going to do. I know they're the Patriots and you like to think they turn around. Something looks fucked up with Cam's... Something looks fucked up with Cam's everything. I don't know. But I'm nervous as a Cam owner. What are we doing? What else is going on? Anything fun? Let me check Twitter. 17 new notifications. Zam. What's up, Poppy? What do we got? What do we got? Any fun questions? Nah, nothing fun. Come on, guys. Come on, y'all. Rashard Higgins, I already talked about him. Antonio Gibson, is that a question? I don't understand. You ain't working on that BDG tattoo. It takes 5 seconds to get a tattoo. Don't be fucking lying. If you wanted it, you would have gotten it already. No fun questions. How about Zeke going forward? I literally couldn't name a less fun question that I already talked about. All you guys just jumping in here for one-off questions. Like, I probably already talked about everything you're asking. Just FYI. Okay. I'm hopping off. I'm hopping the fuck off. Nah, I don't have the box. We need to fill more spots on the box break. We need to fill more spots on the box break. We still are not filled up on the fucking origins. We've got six origin boxes. We've got six origin boxes that we need to split up by divisions. Thoughts on BGE, UFC, MMA Avenue? Interesting. I'd imagine like... we'd have to have probably like 15 times the audience that we have now. That's like what Barstool does at Rough and Rowdy, except it's just boxing. I'd imagine like the legal loopholes that you need to go to in order to have like some kind of organized fighting fucking thing is probably out of control. But it is really, it's a really cool idea. I don't really care much for it though, to be honest. I would just like, honestly, I'll just tell Snacks an animal to fight. I'll just videotape it and put it in a vlog. How was Mel's party? Mel's party was fantastic. How do you even know about that? Did I tell you about that? Yeah, Mel's party was fun as shit. We had the party up. Oh, yeah. I think it was in the live stream. It was so good. We were at the bowling alley. We were like fucking 30 deep. It was crazy. And we were at this place, Frames, which is like a lounge. It's like an open bar bowling alley. And the whole ass roof fell through. It was nuts. And it hit this girl. And we were just like, we're going to fucking sue for everything we've got. But at that time, we were drunk as shit. And like, we were just talking shit for no reason. It's really fun, though. Very good time. You're hungover, right, Nick? More just like hungover from the weekend and lack of sleep. Not actually alcoholically hungover. Is that a word? Alcoholically? Does it get annoying when people just ask the same question every 10 seconds or is it just me? Nah, dude, I love that. It's my favorite. I was actually thinking about giving you guys my phone number for you to text me what my thoughts are on DJ Chark. I love you, Caesar. C'est ça. NYC Halloween ideas, trying to get drunk in a dumpster. I don't know about all that. Oh, Matt, what's up? Well, yeah, what are you doing in NYC? You got plans in Brooklyn or what? You're my favorite, Cole. Oklahoma drill, you want to go up against Animal or Snacks? I would put Snacks in Oklahoma if I did an Oklahoma drill against him. Animal would probably kick my fucking ass, though. Animal's low-key just, like, thick, you know? He's got like, that animal strength where he's just, like, fucking thick everywhere. I have more, like, the athletic build, so I'm kind of, like, lean through the middle. I don't even know if I'd be able to move Animal. Though my friends think I could probably beat him if we did, like, UFC where I have reach and I could just, like, fucking judo kick him in the fucking neck. That'd be sick. What's up? You watch Hubie Halloween. I did not watch that. I don't know. I can't imagine myself watching it. Was it good? Mayor de Blasio is canceling Halloween. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not... In my mind, if I'm doing something for Halloween, it definitely is not about to be... It wasn't like planning on going to a bar or a fucking club. It was going to be like a good house party or nothing at all. Jeff feels me. It was so bad. It was funny. 4 out of 10. Yeah. I ain't going to fucking watch a 4 out of 10. Have you got COVID yet? Honestly, after this weekend, I might have got COVID. I kissed one of the bowling balls. I was giving it like a good luck kiss before I fucking... zoomed it up. I bowled pretty fucking well, too. I got tested for COVID like 2 weeks ago, and I was negative again. Didn't have the antibodies, so probably haven't had it yet. Probably definitely have it now, though. Chris Carson, optimal recovery time, 5 weeks. Yeah, this is probably going to be a long thing. Carlos Hyde's a guy you want to pick up. Best worst movie ever. Biodome. I don't know why that immediately comes to mind, but Biodome was so bad that I loved it. All the Harold and Kumars, I don't even think I'd consider those bad. I think I'd consider those fucking fantastic movies anyways. Yeah, I love those. Bill and Ted's, incredible. Like, I have two parties in NYC, one at the gallery on Thursday and another in Queens this weekend. I don't know if I'm down for the Queens trip, but text me about this gallery thing on Thursday if it's going to be litty. Let's see that bowling form. Did you see? It was up on my Instagram story. Favorite Monty Python movie? I've never seen Monty Python, and I'm not even embarrassed to say it. I If I dressed up as Bobby Sylvester, no one would know the fuck I am, though. Like, the sole purpose of doing that would just to be a take a picture to put it on Twitter. Like, no one, everyone in real life would be like, who the fuck is Bobby Sylvester? Shout Plies out, Froze. That's what I'm saying. Like, people think I created, but like, Plies is a whole ass movement by himself. What's up, Brady? What's up? All right, I'm bouncing out of here. We're filming Bunk Bed in a few. Not really. Probably like 5 hours. We're redoing a rookie draft. We're redoing a 2020 rookie draft for Dynasty. And I'm taking Zach Moss, number one overall. Love you. Go pick up Chase Edmonds.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.